This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
The rest of us will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 12. By the way, my name is Luke Thompson. I am one of the international partners at Crestview. And so we're going to go into a time now of looking at God's Word, meditating on this hope, this living hope that we have of Christ. And that's going to come to us from, like I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, I'm sure there's a mobile app that you can use. But anyway it's possible, get your eyes on the text if you can. Or the text is there in your notes. If you don't have a copy of the notes, now is the time to kind of shuffle around. There's notes at the back if you need to go grab some for our conversation this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to go ahead and start us out by reading it, and then I'll pray. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll start in verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we, of all people, are most to be pitied. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we can read these words, these very words of yours, and we can have hope that Christ has risen from the dead. These words that we have just sung are true because he has done that. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray that as we look into your word, you would open our eyes that we may see. We may open up our ears that we may understand the implications of Christ's resurrection for us and for our salvation. Would you do that all for the glory of Christ? And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Well, as you guys know, news stories can really grab our attention, right? We can be really overwhelmed by a certain news cycle that happens in any current week. I mean, just think of the events that's been happening over the last week in the certain news cycle that we have now. These events, these tragedies, these concerns, these issues, these conflicts, what they do is that they can subtly begin to consume our thoughts, such as, what is this world coming to, right? How did we get this far? What are we going to do next? How do we move on from this? But if we take a step back, sometimes if we take a step back from just like looking at the news of that day, we can kind of see more of the forest instead of just that individual tree. I want just to do a little bit of an exercise this morning. Can you think back of the news events from 5 years ago, June of 2017? Do you remember what happened in June of 2017, 5 years ago? We were consumed. We were consumed with the news at that time. Like, what is going to happen with this world? What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to these people in June of 2017? Anybody remember what happened? June 5th, I actually had to look up the news on June 5th of 2017. That day, there was a shooting in a workplace in Orlando. Five people lost their lives. If you remember that was really the talk, that was the conversation of that day. The other thing that was happening was that there was all these London terrorist activities. I think over the past, of that last week, there was two or three events that were having a bombing. A vehicle had killed several people. And so there was all this talk, all this conversation of what's going to happen next. You might be thinking, okay, that was 5 years ago. That was before the pandemic, right? So obviously I can't remember anything before the pandemic because that has slowed everything down. Okay, how about 2021 of June, last year? What was the big headlines just last year? Can you remember that? Well, some of the big events that happened in June of last year was that building collapse in Florida, the condominium, where almost 100 people lost their lives. And that was the big conversation. Hurricane Elsa was on its way, and it was going to destroy a lot of property. And what are the people in Florida, what are the people on the East Coast going to do when Hurricane Elsa came? But we may have forgotten about those, right? We moved on. We moved on from those things. It doesn't affect us on a day-to-day basis. But what if you were one of those that lost your father, that lost your mother, that lost your son or your daughter in one of those tragedies? Would you have moved on? Would you have forgotten? Would you have been like, I forgot about that thing happened June of last year, or that happened June of 2017, I'd forgotten about that. Or that be that moment in time be burned into your memory? Would you be thinking life was different before that date and life is different after that date? You would, because you were affected. Your life, your very life was affected by that. But we don't care because we weren't affected. None of us were affected by any of those events. We may have commented, right, on certain events that happened. We thought maybe the world was falling down, but we moved on. The world continued. And in a similar way, depending on where you're at and where you stand this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ affects us today. And this passage is telling us, from 1 Corinthians 15, it's telling us that there is implications, there is consequences of life without the resurrection. Those of you who know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, they know, you know your life is different before and after his resurrection. It is markedly different. See, the Corinthian church, Paul wrote this letter. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a particular church in the city called Corinth. And they had a problem at that time. They thought that there was no resurrection of the dead. That was a common thing that was a common belief that was there in the culture of Corinth, that the spirit was separate from the body. So the body was not, body was evil, so therefore it could not be resurrected. It's just down there in the grave and it'll always stay there. There is no such thing as a resurrection. And so Paul had to correct that teaching and to go in and say, no, wait, hold on. There is a resurrection, because look, if there is no resurrection of us, then Christ also wasn't raised. And if Christ wasn't raised, these are the implications. Now, I could spend the next, half an hour trying to convince you that not only are we raised from the dead, but that also Christ has been raised. But I know most of you. I've had conversations with most of you. Most of you believe that Christ was, in fact, raised from the dead. And most of you believe that there is a resurrection of the dead after life. So I don't need to sit there and try to convince you of that. I think our issue, this is my pastoral heart for us, for myself and for all of us, that our issue is that we are seldom affected by the resurrection of Jesus. We treat it as the news events that happened 5 years ago. Oh yeah, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Doesn't really affect me today. Yes, I understand that. I believe that it existed. I will have a resurrection in eternity, but I can't think about that. You're thinking, how does that have to do, Jesus rising from the dead 2,000 years ago, what does it have to do with me today? I got problems today, you're telling me, Luke. You're saying, I got problems today. How does that affect me? You might be saying, my home life is a mess. You might barely get up in the morning because of all of your pain. You might hate going to work, and you just cringe every time you get in your vehicle Monday morning to get to work, saying, I hate this job. I hate it. So you're thinking, how does Christ's resurrection help me? What is it different? You're saying, I've got a stack of bills this high, and I can't even breathe with this stack of bills. I don't even know how I'm going to pay these next set of bills. You feel the whole world is against you. You might think that everybody is against you. Maybe you're weighed down with guilt. You're weighed down with shame, with regret, with disappointment. Maybe you can't take all the pressure that life throws at you. Like, how can I have so much pressure in this life? How am I able to think? You're asking me another thing, to think about the resurrection. Maybe you see others and you say, man, everybody else around me, I feel like they have peace. They have happiness. But you're just frustrated and you're confused and you're thinking, why me? Well, maybe the reason that you struggle and that you can't go on, that you can't see past today, is you've lost your hope. What if you had a hope that was beyond this life? What if there was a peace that could get you into the next day despite the problems and the issues? What if all the issues that you experience, the frustrations, the guilt, everything was promised to be conquered? What if you didn't have that hope? Might that be the source of our frustrations? Might that be the source of our insecurities, of our fears? That would be the result if Christ had not raised from the dead. We would be stuck in our insecurities, in our failures, in our sins. But in fact, this is what God tells us in this text. He gives us a little scenario of what it would be like if Christ had not been raised from the dead. If that did not affect us day to day, what it would be like. And he gives us hope in the midst of these struggles. So if you have your notes, I have three consequences if Christ was not raised from the dead. And the first is, if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, your faith is futile. Your faith is futile. It's all in vain. Look at verses 12 to 15. He says, he gives us a logical conclusion that if you don't think that you are resurrected after death, then Christ wasn't resurrected. And if Christ wasn't resurrected, then your faith is in vain. Or as he says it later in verse 17, that your faith is futile. So what does it mean? What does it mean that your faith is in vain, that your faith is futile? Well, let me give you a few implications of that. If your faith is futile, there's no blessings of the gospel. So Jesus didn't come, he didn't accomplish your, he came and he died, but he didn't actually accomplish your salvation. All of what was promised to those in Christ are just an empty promise. All of what we love from Ephesians chapter 1 are not given to us. We are not adopted as his children. We have no inheritance as his children of the kingdom of heaven. There's no friendship that we have with God. And God can't be trusted. And that's what he said he would do, and he didn't do it. God would be a liar. And what else could we not trust him for? Paul says in verse 15 that we would also be liars, for we would be charged with misrepresenting God with our message. Another implication that if our faith is in vain is that then we would think that evil has won. Evil has the victory. If Christ has not been raised, then evil has won. Jesus said that he has defeated the forces of evil, the power of wickedness. But if Christ has not been raised, then evil does have the victory. In the grand battle, Satan has the victory. The brokenness and the evil that we see all around us, that wins. All the sad stories that you hear about, the things that have maybe happened to you, there's no revenge for that. The prayers that you have to God of lament, asking him to say, rise up, would you rise up, O Lord, and defeat your enemies? All those prayers are futile. If Christ is not raised, then evil wins, and our hope that Jesus will right all the wrongs is just a mirage. It's just empty. The wrongs will be the winners, and we will be the losers. Another implication of our faith being in vain is that there's no special people of God. This church doesn't actually exist. You are not his. He has not purchased us. We will now still be orphans if Christ is not raised. More than that, we are not a people together. This isn't a family. This is just a club. Gathering here together as God's people, doing all this is useless. We're just wasting our time. We're wasting our time here this morning. All the songs we just sang was just a waste of our time. There was no point to it. We would be coming together to celebrate someone's death, someone living in the grave. But no, we are celebrating life. That's what we're celebrating, because he rose from the dead. It would be like following an idol of stone. We would effectively become idol worshipers. We would be worshiping a dead person. Isaiah says, what is the point of serving a God who has ears but can't see, who has eyes but can't see, who has hands but can't do anything? That would be Jesus. We would be praying to a dead person with no hope that he could do anything. Our work would be pointless. Our work would have no purpose at all. As Christ's followers, we work for his glory, knowing that he's going to redeem every aspect of our day-to-day lives to a grander, eternal purpose. Without the resurrection, our work is now purposeless. You might as well just grind through it. You might as well just hate it. You might as well curse under your breath, because it's all meaningless. It's all futile. There's no hope with what you're doing in your work actually matters, will actually change anything if Christ is not raised. Without the resurrection, you might as well try and make as much money as you can, climb the ladder to get ahead, do unethical practices, treat people unfairly. You might as well do that because Christ is not raised and there's no point to life. If Christ is not raised, then we are just kidding ourselves with everything that we are holding on to. We would be wasting our time and hoping for something that isn't actually promised to us. It would be like a thief coming in to rob a place only to find the safe empty, risking everything that he had, and nothing is actually there. So if you're frustrated, if you're fearful, if you're in despair, if you're in anxiety, if you feel alone, might that be the result of those whose faith is in vain? Those who don't have the hope of the resurrected Son of God. This is a consequence if Christ's resurrection has no bearing on your life. Then those feelings, those thoughts, that emptiness will come. But Christ has been raised. Another consequence that is there. So we have our faith is futile, and then he continues on in 16 and 18 saying, you're still in your sin. We are still in sins. That's the second point. He repeats his line that in verse 16, if the dead are not raised, then even Christ is not raised. And again, he says our faith is futile. But now he enters a new and probably more important line here. He says that we are still in our sins and there's no hope for those who have died and are in the grave. Now the stakes are he makes it a little step higher now than just a futile faith. Our sin now has not been dealt with before God. What we have come to Christ for, has not actually been accomplished. And then again, that just leads us, what does it mean then to say that we're still in our sins? Well, first, it means that if Christ has not been raised and we are still in our sins, then there is no freedom from your guilt. Our consciences, what they can do is that they can weigh us down with guilt, right? Anybody ever felt weighed down with the guilt that you have had in your past? And the feelings that we know we can't measure up, we will never measure up to God's holy law, that we have not measured up to what God has asked us to do. But see, the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of what Christ has done is he has washed away our sin and secured our forgiveness by his resurrection. So by faith in him, we are freed from our guilt. We can rest in his grace, and we can rest in his love and acceptance of us despite our failings, despite our sin. But without the resurrection, you are still in your sin, and you will be weighed down by your guilt. Without Christ rising from the dead, our consciences will eat away at us, tear us down to think that we will never, ever have God's favor because we are never good enough. And there's nothing that we can do about that guilt. If Christ is not raised, there is nothing that we can do about that guilt. Nothing that we can do to satisfy that guilty conscience that we have. See, if Christ has not been raised and we are still in our sin, there is no cleansing from sin. The stain of our sin remains on us. There's nothing that we can do about that. It would be like me trying to clean up an oil spill in my driveway with an oily cloth. It just wouldn't work. That's what would be like me trying to wash away my own sin with good works. But the sacrifice of Christ, his blood, that has been applied to me, makes me clean. And without that, without his resurrection, with him still being in the grave, that stain of unrighteousness is still on me. Another thing is that if Christ has not been raised and we are still in our sin, then we are still slaves to that sin. We are told in Romans chapter 6 that because of Christ's victory over sin, we are no longer slaves to sin. That we have a power to resist temptation by the power of the Spirit at work in us. And because of his resurrection, now we are slaves to his righteousness that has been applied to us. So without Christ being alive, we have no hope to gain victory, to walk in righteousness. Without Christ, we will continue to sin and we will never get better. We will tear people down, we will love ourselves, we will destroy relationships, and we will continue to violate God's holy law because we are still slaves to it. Our bondage to sin has not been broken. Did you hear in the last song we sang that the bondage has been broken? We are free from that because of Christ. If Christ is not raised, those chains are still there. We are still shackled to our sin. We are still shackled to our flesh, and there is no hope to free from that. If Christ has not been raised and we are still in sin, then we are judged and punished for our sin. Without the resurrection, hell awaits us. Without Jesus claiming the victory over death, we are under God's wrath for sin. If Jesus is still in the grave, we stand before the judgment throne condemned for our sin and our shame against God. We no longer have an advocate for the Father. We no longer have an advocate. No one standing and saying, that's paid for. This one is ours because of my sacrificial death and resurrection applied to his life. That's no longer there. If Christ has not been raised, then there is nothing that we can do about our sin. It's like this rain that's been happening over the last couple of weeks. We haven't had rain like this in months. The rain that should have been there across the winter months is now finally coming. And so I'm thinking, as a dumb Kansan, I'm thinking, great, the Kansas wheat farm is going to be awesome now because we finally had the rains just before the harvest. But talking to a farmer, they said, that's not how it works. We actually need the rain in the winter for it to grow. This is now useless. This rain here, it does not help at all. That's what it would be like if Christ did not raise. It would be like us trying to add rain to an already ready to harvest wheat, thinking I can make up for lost time. We need Christ's resurrection this same way. Our works do nothing for our sins. It has to be Jesus conquering the grave, defeating death, in order for our sins to be atoned for. The last thing that Paul says in verse 19, last consequence that he says that if Christ has not been raised, then we're pretty pitiful. We're a pretty pitiful people. This last if statement is the saddest one that we've seen. If we have hope in this life only, then we should be a pitied people. Why? Well, think of all that you suffer for the sake of Christ. All that would be empty. All that would be useless because there is no Christ. If Christ has not been raised, then there is no eternal hope in our suffering. What you are enduring now for the sake of Christ is pointless. What you are enduring is just meaningless. People should feel sorry for you in your suffering because there's no point to it. Christ can't redeem our suffering and our trials because he would be in the grave. He can't bring his purposes. He can't bring his glory out of it. His disciples asked Jesus when they saw a blind man. They said, "Why is this man like this? Why is this man blind?" Jesus answered them and said, "Because of God's purposes for him." In the same way, with your suffering, if there is no resurrection, there is no God's purposes in that. Without the resurrection, there is no eternity waiting for us. For those who are in Christ, he will have glory. He has a purpose in that. We are told several places that in suffering to look at the glorious eternity that awaits us in Christ, to have an eternal perspective in our trials. Well, if Christ is dead, then we will die as well, with no eternal life with him. So yes, we should be pitied. And if Christ is not raised, then all the promises from Romans chapter 8 do not apply to us. For some of you, that's your favorite text in the whole Bible, Romans chapter 8. All of what we are waiting for are just false promises. So turn quickly to Romans. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn back a few pages. I want to do a little exercise here in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. It's an interesting thing to do, a helpful exercise to do is to look at the opposite of what the text is saying to really see the glories of the truth that is there. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see of what would happen if Christ had not been raised. What are some of the promises that are here that are ours that would not be ours if Christ was not raised? Verse 31 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Well, God's not for us. He's not raised from the dead, so the whole world is against us. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" He has given us nothing if Christ has not been raised. Verse 33 says, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died." And what does it say next? More than that. More than his death, he has been raised. We like to glory in the cross. We like to glory in his sacrificial death there. But Paul says, more than his death, he has been raised, because he knows all of those promises would not exist if he had not been raised. We would still be condemned if that was not the case. There would be no justification for our sins if he had not been raised. He says, and continue on in verse 33, "Who is indeed interceding for us?" We have no intercessor, because that intercessor would be in the grave. Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" All of that could separate us from the love of Christ, because he's not there. Everything could. Verse 36, "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." We are those sheep that are slaughtered if Christ is not raised. Verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Without Christ raised, We are the conquered, not the conquerors. Verse 38, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Again, all of those things could separate us if Christ is in the grave. Let me tell you a story about an older couple that I had met in my recent trip to South Asia. They're an older couple, probably late 50s, early 60s. They recently accepted Christ as their Savior, and they recently were baptized. This older couple has one son who's about 31 years old, and last year he unexpectedly, by surprise, passed away very suddenly. And so this older couple is now left with no children, no offspring. Now let me explain to you a little bit about South Asians' understanding with children. So if you understand, our children are a blessing. They are our honor. They are our joy, those of you who are parents. But in South Asia, they take it a step further. They're actually their livelihood, because there's no 401k. There's no Social Security. There's no Roth IRAs in South Asia. Their whole savings is in their children. Their children will take care of them in their old age. So without children, you are left alone and no one to take care of you. You are in a pretty bad state. So this older couple are mourning the death of their son, wondering what to do, but they're living in a community where they're the only ones who have accepted Christ. The religion of the community. They're the only ones in their family, extended family, who has accepted Christ. And so the whole community is now against them. The whole community is saying, you did this. It was because you left our gods. That's why your son is dead. It's your fault and it's your problem. Why don't you just come back? Come back and our gods will accept you. This God that you serve is useless. He didn't do anything for you. In fact, he did it worse for you. Look what happened. I asked them, in the midst of their tears, in the midst of my own tears, I asked them, what's your hope then? What is your hope in this life? You know what they told me? Christ is alive. Jesus is alive. He is King forevermore. He is reigning on his throne. Yes, my son is dead. Yes, there is no seemingly, by the world standards, hope for the future, but my hope is Christ, and I know he will have the glory in this. And I will cling to Christ because I know that he is alive. For this dear couple, if Christ is not raised, they are the most to be pitied. They are hoping in a God who is dead and are needlessly suffering under all this pain and all this pressure from society. But verse 20, Crestview, is true. Look at verse 20. But Christ rose from the dead. If you haven't listened to anything that I've said so far, please listen now. Please wake up. Christ did raise from the dead. In fact, he says, in fact, Christ rose from the dead. All his promises are fulfilled. And he said, he is the first fruits of those who believe. What does that mean? First fruits of those who believed. Well, one commentator uses the illustration of a gardener. Many of you, I know, are gardeners. Many of you have a lot of green thumbs in our church. So you guys will understand this illustration. A month or so ago, you planted a seed in the ground, right? And you watered, you were faithful to water that, and you were faithful to watch it grow. You were faithful to see it come. And now you are starting to see some of the fully grown, or some semblance of a grown plant, right? And what do you see? The first thing you see on there, you see the first budding of one of the vegetables or fruit that comes out of there. That's the first fruit. Now, let me tell you something that happened at our home recently. So we have a small little front yard. I was saying this last week, the tiniest front yard you've ever seen. But we've sectioned out about a plot this big, right? And we've got three three little seedlings we put in the ground, thinking, all right, we got a little bit of okra, a little bit of cherry tomatoes. All right, that's going to be our little tiny crop for this year. Well, as you know, we have neighborhood kids that are all constantly at our house, and they're constantly playing. If you have a small, tiny front yard, they're going to use every square inch of that front yard. So what happened to those plants? Well, one of them accidentally stepped on, smashed, crushed, somehow accidentally just destroyed one of the plants. The other one also just didn't ever blossom or bloom, so we've got one plant left. We've got one left. What's going to happen to this plant? We just want something to use this one little plot, please, something to come out of this thing. And it started to grow, it continued to grow, and one day Julie went out and she says, I found one. There is one cherry tomato on this thing. It survived everything. It's going to produce a crop. It's going to produce more than this. That sign of that one fruit was a sign of things to come. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us, that Christ is that first fruit. There will be more coming. He's just the first one, and we are the rest of that fruit. If you are in that vine, if you are a part of that branch, if you are rooted in that plant of Christ, you will also be raised just like him. I began this morning asking you questions of how you're going to get through this life with all the crap that you have to deal with on a daily basis. Well, you can, because Christ lives and reigns and rules over this world. Your faith is a reality. Jesus does win over evil and wickedness. He will right those wrongs. All the gospel promises are ours by faith. Everyone who works, all of our work has purpose, has meaning in Christ. All of God's promises are fulfilled in Jesus. We are cleansed from our sin and our guilt. We no longer walk in guilt. We are no longer a slave to sin. There is no more condemnation for those who love Jesus. We have every hope in our suffering. We have the hope of eternal life, that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. All because Christ has been raised from the dead. All that is now ours. We live in freedom. We live in power. We live in the grace and love of Christ. And we have a hope, and that hope is real, that we are more than conquerors because of him who raised him from the dead. Amen? Let's take a few moments now to ponder and consider this. To ponder and praise the Christ who has been raised for us. So talk with him. Talk to him about his resurrection and how that applies to you today. Maybe you need to repent of a false belief in yourself. Maybe you need to look to him who raised you, who will raise you, who has cleansed you. Look to him to give you hope, to give you peace, to give you rest. Will you just bask in his love for you for a few moments?